Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting with my good friend, the handsome and talented Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle in the middle of the mitten. It's New Year's Eve from the mothership, Nutrient Field, born in the D, pure Michigan baby. I'm fired up, Craig, fire up Chips. It's New Year's Eve.
It is New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and we open the show with you two.
New Year's Day.
New Year's Day.
Sense. Yeah. There's no song about New Year's Eve, so there's a song about New Year's Day.
Is anybody up right now at 8 a.m.?
Well, probably today. Tomorrow, nobody will be up at 8 a.m. because tomorrow's New Year's Day. Everybody's going to be partying tonight and everything.
We have a huge show.
Yeah.
This is a New Year Eve topic-driven show today.
Exactly.
No, literally.
What do people do on New Year's Eve, Todd?
They party hardy.
Yes, they do.
What am I going to be doing?
Like it's 1999. What are you going to be doing on New Year's Eve?
What do I normally do?
I would imagine you would be fat biking, maybe?
Exactly. So, you know.
Tonight? At midnight, you're going to be fat biking? Really?
At our age, there's nothing wrong with celebrating New Year's Eve. Nothing.
Nothing at all. No.
I'm over the partying. I'm over being somewhere where there's... I've been in Chicago. I've been in Toronto, Key West for New Year's. A group of friends, Big Hair.
Mm-hmm.
Always talk about Big Hair.
Sure, yeah.
You know, my buddy Chris. There's a whole group of us, and we're going for a ride starting at 10 p.m. tonight.
Oh, wow.
We're going to ride for 2 hours.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, in the woods.
Wow.
On a groomed trail with our lights on. And we're going to celebrate New Year's that way.
Do you do a lot of night riding? I don't know if I've ever heard you talk about
that. That's all we do
riding.
All winter.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But look, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, we want everybody out there to be safe.
Oh, yeah.
Do not
drink and drive at all.
Do not drink and drive. Please do not drink and drive. Do not let loved ones or friends drink and drive.
Yeah.
Have a sober driver.
Now, for starters, in most towns, they have a taxi service will give free rides on New Year's Eve because they know. They have to. I mean, they've got to keep people safe.
Craig.
Yes.
Regarding taxis.
Yeah.
Our listening audience, well, one, this show is podcasted, but for the listening audience tuned in right now on 98.5 UPS.
And Rock 105, 95.5, we just rock.
There's a lot of most of the towns, if not the majority, are small towns. There's no taxi. There's no Uber.
That's true.
So they can't call a taxi service.
But you know what they can do? Be prepared. If you're going to be somewhere for the night, be there for the night. Put the keys away. Make sure you're, at the very least, how about walk home? If you're in a small town and you live a couple blocks out of town, walk. Have somebody be sober with you.
So I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Now, in the new year, there's always new laws.
That's right.
So we in Michigan, there's a lot of new laws taking place. We talk about it on the show each and every week.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to talk too much about it today, but the cannabis laws have changed.
Yep.
The civil infraction MIP law has changed.
Okay.
And there will be more coming, and we'll be discussing those throughout the year.
Sure.
I want to ask you a question.
You ask away.
I mean, you're a man of the world.
Okay.
You're like GQ.
All right.
Old school.
Have you seen me?
You are GQ old school.
Okay, sure.
Have you ever known women that shave their eyebrows?
Yes.
So
I actually know of a girl who used to shave her face.
So
her face, like shave, like guy shave. Okay. She had a hairy face.
That's not where I'm going.
Okay, where are you going?
Why do women shave their eyebrows and then pencil them in afterwards?
Because they can make them look like what they want.
Yeah, but why don't you just keep your eyebrows to begin with?
I am not going to lie to you, man. I am.
I just want to know.
I'm single.
I want to know.
I'm a single man, single and ready to mingle. I see pictures of girls with those big, huge, thick eyebrows. They've got those. They literally look like they've got like two parentheses above their. I can't stand it. They're big and they're all square looking. Ugh. Not at all.
I'm just asking.
Eyebrows.
But I'm not trying to be funny. Is that a good point? Why do you shave? Ladies out there.
It's a style. Right
I'm now. Just saying.
I know. It's a style. Go out to a party tonight. You will see some of those styles.
I want to talk. Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit law right now.
Okay.
A lot of sledders out there.
Right.
A lot of men and women on sleds, a.k.a. snowmobiles.
Yeah, it's going to be that time of year.
And if you're looking for a new one, Harrison Power Sports up in Harrison, Michigan.
Great
talk to Sean and Everson.
Yep, great place to go.
I received a number of calls. I have a few cases right now.
Okay.
Individuals who were operating snowmobiles for whatever reason. They came to the attention of law enforcement, the DNR or otherwise.
Right.
They're now charged with operating while intoxicated on a snowmobile. So what I want to tell the listening audience is if you're on a sled and you're on one of the ORV trails, and you go off the trail, as men and women often do.
Sure.
Ride the shoulders, head into town, go bar to bar, restaurant to restaurant, go get gas. I mean, I'm a sledder.
Yeah.
You're a sledder.
Sure.
If you're a sledder, you're heading to town, you're in town, and you consumed alcohol, which one you should not do.
For starters.
Never.
No.
Unfortunately, people do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're brought to the attention of law enforcement, you're going to be charged under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code under 257,
yeah, you will.
With operating under the influence on a snowmobile, and you're not going to be charged under the ORV code. You're going to be charged as if you're in an automobile. So the penalties are the same. Now, there's a difference here. Hear what I'm saying.
Okay.
You're on a sled. You're in town. You're not on the trail.
You're on a road.
You're on a road.
You're on a shoulder.
You're on a shoulder. If you're caught drinking and operating that vehicle, you're going to be charged as if 257 code under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code, and it's going to go on your driving record, and there are license sanctions. If you're on a trail, and somehow the DNR, which they do,
yep,
are also on the trail, there's a different section in code that you could be charged under, and it's 324. Now, this is a code for operation of a snowmobile while under the influence.
Okay.
And also, the statute applies if you allow somebody to operate a snowmobile with the knowledge that they're intoxicated.
Okay.
If you're operating a snowmobile, not on a public roadway under 257 section,
right,
and you're under 324 because you're off-road, if you're convicted, it does not go on your mission abstract. You do not have license sanctions against your Michigan driving privileges.
Really?
You will lose your privileges to operate the snowmobile for a period of time.
But it doesn't go against your driver's
right. It will driving. Not. But as I said earlier, if you are convicted on the roadway on a snowmobile,
it would.
It will, just as if you're in a motor vehicle. Now, we've talked about this in the past, listeners. If you're on a side-by-side and you're on, okay,
yeah,
we
this
had
is
this
what
conversation.
Yeah, we're going to bring this up.
The Section 324, as it relates to sleds, which is a snowmobile, there's a whole separate abstract that's created through the Secretary of State. So the Secretary of State will now have an abstract of your Michigan driving record in a motor vehicle and a separate abstract as it applies to a snowmobile.
What about an ORV?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same
snowmobile
thing.
And ORV in the same category?
Similar.
Or RV and
yes.
In driver's license in the same category.
Again, if you're operating a side-by-side on a public roadway.
Yeah, that way you're under the laws of the road.
You're drinking and operating it, and the officer writes you under the 257 code. In the state of Michigan, all the laws are numbered.
Right.
Anything and everything that has to do with a motor vehicle. We talked about open and tox over the past week. 257 code. If it's drug related, it's the 333-300 codes.
Okay.
Okay. And so every law, probate law is under a section. There's sections and codes. You can call them whatever you want. I call them codes. They're numbers.
Okay.
Well, everybody refers to this something called 7411, 333.7411. In the state of Michigan, if you're charged with a possessory crime and you have no priors, you've never been charged or convicted before,
then you can take a bite of this apple. It's 333.7411 MCL, Michigan Connotated Laws, 333.7411. But again, it's a drug charge under the 300 section. Michigan Motor Vehicle, everything's under 257. And by the way, if you are convicted of anything that has to do with a motor vehicle under that code, it will never come off your driving record. You cannot expunge it. Really? It does not drop off. Oh, it's going to drop off after 10 years. No, it does not. You cannot expunge, aka set aside, any conviction under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code. But back to the snowmobile, because we got a lot of people out there right now that for New Year's Eve, it's Year's Eve right now.
Exactly.
They're snowmobiling.
With all the snow we've had. And
be careful.
Everything. Yeah, please.
And everybody knows that people bar hop, which are some great small towns. You can hop a sled. You can go from Harrison all the way to Mackinac, Houghton Lake, Tiki Bar, great bar.
Yep.
No tadpoles allowed, right?
That's 21 and over.
I love that place.
I know. It is a great place. It makes great food.
Good sponsor steak of 98.5.
Yeah, Steak Bites. Really good steak bites.
Oh, yeah.
Bites.
Great owners.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I know I'm jumping all over the place. I'm just trying to tell the listeners that don't drink and drive. Do not drink and operate a sled. If you do and you're caught on a public road, it's going to go under the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code. If you're on an ORV trail, it's going under section 324.82127. Different penalties.
I'm going to say this is a good reason we have you around and why, if anything ever happened to me, I would hire you, because I couldn't keep any of this stuff straight. You're the one who keeps track of it all. This is your job.
Yeah, I do a lot. I do each season. I represent men and or women from Mount Pleasant all the way through Gaylord, Crawford County, Lake, all the way to the UP.
Yeah.
Charlevoix, Sheboygan, Indian River, who are caught operating a sled while intoxicated. So I specialize in this area.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
When we come back, we got to take a break, but we got a couple of things. First place, when we come back, I've got a gruesome snowmobile story for you, because it's almost getting to be that time of year. I'll tell you about it when we come back from a break. It's the Todd Elevate Law Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting, coming back strong with Prince.
1999.
Party like it's 1999.
Because it's New Year's Eve.
It's New Year's Eve going into 2018, but we had to come back with Prince 1999.
Dude, I remember growing up in the 80s. That was the jam. Prince was awesome in the 80s to begin with.
Yeah.
That's totally was.
I was friendly big. When I went to... Tell me if I go too straight.
You don't know.
It doesn't matter. We know the tone.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow, we should not sing on this show.
As we've been talking about a little later on in the show, we're going to have to go through our New Year's resolutions. You going to make any resolutions for this year?
I don't have any.
You don't have any?
No.
Everything is perfect in your life?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
You don't make resolutions?
No. You know why? Because I think every day you wake up, you should try to make good choices, good decisions. And so every day is a resolution.
There's some people in this world who need to have a target date to start something, and then they just start it. I try, and when I do something like that, I just try and make a lifestyle change to where it's not because it's January 1st or because it's the new year. I'm doing it to try and do something to make myself better, to make me a better person, make the world a better place.
All right, so since we're talking about it, I know you have a story. Give me a resolution.
A resolution?
What do you want to do?
I'm going to try to be a better dad this year. To my kids.
Really? Try
and care more about the stuff that they're talking about that I don't care about. I'm going to try to pay attention to more to them. I'm going to try to be more sensitive to their feelings when they have frustrations. Sometimes I don't feel like I do that well enough.
That's my resolution that's in the top of my head is not even comparable to that. Yours was very sensitive. It was very meaningful.
I try.
Mine is completely self-serving. I'm going to try to bike 4,000 miles this year.
That's perfectly fine.
Training.
That's
not racing. Training.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Nobody cares. It's a Facebook moment. It's like, can I just tell you, it's like Facebook.
Yeah, it is.
Who cares?
It's true.
I had 2,500 last year training.
Okay. Another 1,500. Wow. You are going to be.
That's a lot, though.
Are you going to have time to do this show doing that?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Everything will be pre-recorded.
Okay.
We'll just sit around for 24 hours and do 24 shows.
That'll take care of half the year right there.
Well, look, we are a law show. I am an attorney, and you said during break I should give out my information.
Yes.
And this is not a solicitation show, but I do practice out of Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Right.
989-772-6000. Jackie and Jen, great staff. I practice drinking and driving cases, possession drug cases, probation violations, driver's license restoration. I do a lot of snowmobile, ORV cases when someone's been intoxicated, boating. And over the years, I've become a specialist in DNR conservation tickets.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Men and women who are hunting, as you and I do, who take a deer and use someone else's tag, put it on Facebook, somehow the DNR catches them, and now they're charged with these misdemeanors. And poaching is a very serious offense.
It is, but does the DNR really like scour Facebook looking for
it?
That?
Does.
Do they really?
You know, what happens is, if you post, what's happening is someone will get a buck or a doe.
Right.
They'll post it on Facebook. Somebody will like it. They'll share it. Somebody out there works in law enforcement or the DNR somehow or another, they've got software. They're watching you.
So not really knowing a lot about poaching, what is the penalty for it?
Well, it's actually, in the statute, it's illegal taking or possessing a deer without a license.
Okay.
So if you take a deer without a license, it's pretty stiff. You're looking at a mandatory 5 days in jail.
Really?
Mandatory five to 90 days.
5 to 90 days? You could spend 90 days in jail for poaching? I did not know that.
$1,000 per deer.
Wow.
And I've seen cases where the points?
Yeah.
The fines go up.
The bigger the deer, the more fines?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, and here's the other thing. The remainder of the year, you cannot hunt plus 3 calendar years.
Oh, wow.
So poaching is very serious. And here's the thing. I've represented over the years dozens of men and a few women who ended up in this situation for whatever reason. And these are, look, good men and women.
Maybe just a little misguided in this stuff.
I wouldn't even say misguided. Just made a poor choice.
Okay.
Like we're talking about.
People do that.
Look, we're hunters. We know what goes on out there. I have friends who own farms.
Yep.
And there's, you know, hey, someone takes a doe. Look, first of all, we're not recommending you break the law.
Right.
We're just saying we know what goes on. But in regards to illegal or possessing a deer without a license, pretty stiff. Now, of all the dozens of cases I've represented men and women on these type of cases, not once have I ever had anybody go to jail, and typically I'll get the charge reduced to, you know, possessing a deer with the wrong tag. Someone will tag a deer or a buck, and it's someone else's tag. That goes on a lot. And people do get caught. So and you go from the mandatory 5 days, you're still gonna pay a fine. But it's a less of a misdemeanor.
Right.
No jail. Discretion with the judge whether or not they take your hunting privileges away.
Now, here's a couple of questions. First place, does poaching happen outside of like the regular hunting season, you know, November 15th? I mean, is that when it happens more times than not, or does it happen even during regular hunting season?
There's a lot of men and women out there. To answer your question, as far as the DNR, and I'm concerned as a defense attorney, takes place more so during season.
Okay. That's one question.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, too. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Let's be really honest here. Let's say you're dealing opioids to elementary school children, or you're shooting one more deer than you're supposed to. What's the worst crime here? You know, I mean, I understand judges are probably a little more lenient on the hunting charge. You're taking a deer possibly illegally as opposed to, say, hardened crime, or you're robbing a liquor store. I mean, you know, when you put things into the, you know, into levels, I would say the deer is probably much lower in the level than, say, you know, killing somebody.
Well, I mean,
am I right?
So you're just asking the audience to think about this, to compare, you know, selling drugs, period, opioids versus poaching a deer.
Right.
Which is more serious? Well, I'm an attorney. They're both crimes.
I understand that.
But if you're asking me on the scale of things, if someone's taking a deer to feed their family, which to feed the family, not just to kill a deer,
right?
Obviously selling drugs where people are dying every day as opposed to feeding somebody. But look, the DNR, I support the DNR.
Sure.
I support I want to give a big shout out. This is New Year's Eve. A lot of law enforcement officers, they're working overtime.
Oh, yeah.
There's more on duty. We love you. Look, my friends are in law enforcement. There's sheriffs, there's deputies, there's city attorneys, there's tribal officers alive. A lot of trooper friends of mine out there. We want you to be safe. And please respect law enforcement. If you see them over, pulled someone over, make sure you slow down and get in the other lane.
That's right.
If they pull you over, keep your hands on the wheel. Cooperate with them. Don't make their job any harder than it is. And a big shout out to all the veterans. We wish you and your families a happy, healthy New Year's as well.
But then there's
New
the thing.
Year.
It has to do with respect.
Respect.
Treat law enforcement with the respect that they deserve, because they do deserve it. Don't think that they don't, because they do. They do a lot of things that you don't think about to protect us, much like the military. That's the same thing. Law enforcement deserve respect immediately. Give it to them.
How about illegally poaching an elk?
Ooh.
I've never seen an elk in Michigan.
I have.
Yeah, you know where they're at? Isle Royale.
And, well, you know where else they're at?
Where?
They're between Gaylord and like Hillman and that area in the Lower Peninsula.
Well, you always see the sign, slow down for elk. Well,
there's an elk farm, like an elk forest right outside of Gaylord. You can drive into Gaylord, you can sit, and you can watch, and the elk are out there.
How many days in jail are you going to get for poaching an elk?
93.
30.
Okay.
Mandatory.
All right.
Up to 180.
That's a big elk.
Yeah, no, and $2,000 max fine, $1,500 fee for. Look, I'm an attorney. I've never known anyone to poach an elk. But we're talking here, folks, if you're just tuned in, it's our New Year show.
Right.
Title Level Law Show. We were talking about drinking and sledding. So if you missed any portion of the show, be sure to catch it on podcast.
Yep.
If you have a smartphone, you can download the podcast app. It's free. Just go to your app store, hit podcast, and then type in my name, Todd Levitt, L-E-V-I-T-T, and you can subscribe to the show. So if you miss any portion, once you subscribe and we upload this version of the show,
right,
it'll just pop up on your phone.
There you go. You won't miss any
of
it.
Or catch us on Podbean, SoundCloud, iTunes. But we're talking about, talking about DNR and poaching and tagging and so on and so forth. That's how we got on the subject.
I almost hit an elk once. Elk
wow.
Big. I worked at a radio station in Gaylord, and I was driving to Alpena on M32, came down this hill, elk right in the middle of the road, slowed right down. I was in a minivan, and the elk's back was over top the windshield. This elk is huge.
Wow, you know,
elks are big.
How about a moose?
About the same size, I would think. But elks are big. Be careful. Don't poach an elk.
How about bear? If you poach a bear,
that's got to be bad.
That's another mandatory 5 days up to 90 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
There have been more bear sightings in the last 15 years than there ever was.
Is that right? Okay.
There used to be a women's bear hunt in Kalkaska back in like the 40s and 50s. And I brought that up on a radio show about 20 years ago when I was working in Gaylord, same radio station I worked at when I almost hit the elk. And nobody had ever heard of this bear hunt. Well, all of a sudden, the last few years, you see more on the news. Bear here, bear in the backyard, especially now with people's social media on Facebook, can take live video of a bear in their backyard. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
How many bears there are around?
A lot of bears out there.
Not even Yogi Bear.
Hey, the boo-boo.
Let's go get some picnic baskets.
Let's deviate, bear. Speaking of the topic.
Yeah.
Honey, very good for you. Random here. Just an ADD. No, I consume large amounts of honey.
Okay.
Very good for you.
Lots of sugar, though.
But it's natural. Yeah, don't.
And still.
It's natural like, sugar.
Yeah, it's a lot of natural sugar.
Natural sugar, yeah. Hey, if you're just tuning in, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt, and you are?
Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle.
It's our New Year's show.
Happy
New Year's. Is it New Year's? So do you say Happy New Year or Happy New Year's?
I think you can do either one. This is our New Year's Eve show.
Yeah.
I think you say Happy New Year.
I've got a cutoff date.
Okay.
After the 7th of January.
It's the new year.
Stop wishing me Happy New Year.
Yep.
Because I have people do it into February.
How long does it take you to remember to not sign your checks 2017 into 2018? Will you be writing 2017 in February?
It'll happen.
Okay.
It'll happen. Good to know. I mean, who? Good to know. It happens to a lot of people.
It does.
You know what's really sad? The younger generation doesn't even know how to write checks.
Doesn't have checks.
I have some advice, by the way.
Okay.
I have some advice, do we have time for some advice?
How about we take a break and then give us some advice?
Okay. When we come back from break, I have some serious advice for the listeners.
And I've got a gory snowmobile story.
And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in the middle of the Mitten from the Black Diamond Mothership in a beautiful nutrient field, 217 into 218, parting like it's 1999, coming back strong with U2. We opened up the show with U2.
That's right, New Year's Day.
I love that song.
Considering there's no songs about New Year's Eve. Well, we could play Old Anxiety.
No,
you know, we could.
No.
I think we could.
Yeah.
But we don't have
to. I've been really heavily into the Hollies lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Long cool woman in a black dress.
Long cool woman in a black dress.
And he ain't heavy. He's my brother.
No, but long cool woman in a black. If you listen to the words, I mean, it's amazing. He talks about hanging out, the DA. She's pulling me this way. They're pulling me that way. I mean, the Hollies were great.
Great group.
Are they still around?
I don't think so. I don't think they're recording anymore. Yeah. I think one of them died.
I'm putting them in my top 10 of the 60s and early 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a top 10.
I just created it.
Okay, sure.
I love The Who.
Yeah, and I know another. You also like, who's the other one? Oh,
no idea.
Yeah, the one did the...
The Who. Love The Who.
Jerry and the Pacemakers?
Who?
No, I'm trying to think. Oh, Dave Clark 5. I like you like Dave Clark 5.
No, I'm sure I heard their songs.
I'm sure.
Long, cool woman in a black dress.
Ever since last week, you were into that. Totally into that.
Yeah, I sent you. During the week, I sent you a little emoji.
Yeah, you
just
did.
Randomly. What was it?
It was a duck.
I don't know why.
It looked like a mallard.
I like the mallard emoji.
It looked like a mallard. You sent me a
duck. So I sent it to you. And you said, why'd you send that to me?
I'm like, what the duck?
Because I like it.
What the duck?
I have some advice.
Okay, get your advice.
Here's some advice.
Okay.
There's a lot of parents out there who have students in elementary school, junior high, high school, college.
Sure.
I went to community college for a year.
Okay.
I believe in community college. Couldn't afford to go to college, so I had to work.
Good bridge.
I had to work, save money, and then I transferred to CMU, Fire Up Chips.
That is not an unusual predicament for a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going through that same thing.
People ask me, how did you get through law school with all that information? How did you get through undergrad? I was a horrible student in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured out how to study, how to learn.
Okay.
So I'm going to give some learning advice for parents out there or grandparents or anyone that knows someone going through education.
Okay.
Here it is. When people study, they often say, I have a test coming up. I have to memorize this stuff. I've got so much to memorize.
Right.
Wrong. There's where you're wrong.
Okay.
You don't want to memorize anything. You know what you want to do? You want to understand what you're reading.
True.
So what I started to do as a student at Central, I had so much information on my way to law school. I said, you know what, Todd? Each page I read, I'm not going to go on to the next page until I know what it is I just read. Because typically, if you're studying, in order to get to page 2 and 3 and understand it, and retain it, you have to first understand where it started.
Right,
so my advice to everyone out there is try to understand what you're reading, and then you'll retain the information as opposed to memorizing it. And that's my advice. And I'm telling you right now, that's some great advice.
It is great advice. I had teachers, the best teachers I had all through school, all were ones that would take a complex idea or some part of history and like break it down into like real terms and real stuff. You know, they would explain the Louisiana Purchase for what it was, not technical jumbo mumbo and jargon and stuff like that, but say, look, it was about buying a plot of land to keep the United States moving westward. When you explain it in real terms, and when you read and you can understand things, the next step to that learning process, try and explain it to somebody else. If you can explain it to somebody, I had a perfect example of this. I was trying to explain to my daughter what net neutrality was all about. A couple of weeks ago, you know, the FCC decided to get rid of the net neutrality rules.
Do you understand that?
I totally understand.
Yeah, I do too.
I totally understand. She did.
I don't like it.
I'm not a big fan of it.
Not at all. Because it's going to cost us more money.
It is.
And it's going to push the smaller internet company out of business. Maybe we should explain it.
That's right. It could do a lot of damage. If they do what it says it's going to do, it could help increase competition, which I'm all for. I don't know if it'll do that.
Let's explain it to the listeners. So a lot of these sites that are free, like YouTube and Netflix, they're using a lot of bandwidth. It takes a lot of, let's say, energy for these companies to run their platforms. And YouTube is free. You can watch all the videos you want. Netflix is a very reasonable monthly fee. Now, what's going to happen is they can now charge the consumer more money, and now it's going to be passed on to us.
Well, you know, and here's part of the thing.
I don't like it.
Here's part of the thing.
I want to keep the internet free.
Well, okay. Now, I'm going to bring that up.
No, free for free for our listeners who want to start an internet business that cannot compete with those big companies. How are they going to compete?
That. But here's what I want to know. When was the last time you used free internet? Explain to me. In your office, you have the internet, correct? You used to be able to use internet? Costs you money, doesn't it?
Not a lot.
But it costs you money.
It's not a lot.
It's not free.
Okay.
My internet at home, not free. The internet isn't
free. Oh, I can answer that. Hold on. You're wrong.
The internet is not free.
You are wrong.
Where is it free?
Everywhere I go, there's free Wi-Fi.
You know what? You pay for that.
How do I pay for that?
Because if you go,
I don't pay for that.
If you go to
the coffee shop and use it for free.
Right. But you know what that means? That means instead of that coffee being a dollar a cup, it's going to be $1.50 to pay for the internet. And don't think you're not paying for it.
That's
because nothing is free.
Craig, if you end net neutrality, we're going to pay more for that coffee cup.
But there's the thing. If it can increase competition, I'm not saying I'm for it, but if it could, because right now, if you ask 9 out of the 10 people who live in, say, pick a city in central and northern Michigan. Pick one.
Indian River.
Okay. Who supplies internet to Indian River?
No idea.
Probably the cable company and possibly the phone company.
Satellite companies.
And maybe a satellite company.
Yeah.
And it's all expensive. People around the world get 1,000 megs of speed.
You are wrong in every sense of the word wrong.
Not at all. No, I'm
not. No, listen. There's so many men and women out there who start internet companies.
Right.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are now, with net neutrality gone, they are now going to have to compete, just like the cannabis business in the state of Michigan. They're not going to be able to compete. They're not going to be able to compete with the men and women who run these big internet corporations that have the ability to buy bandwidth, to gather that all up. Net neutrality is not good for the small men and women at the bottom. Once again, Craig Russell, big government, big money takes over and squashes the small guy, just like the cannabis industry coming to the state of Michigan.
Now, to be
the government in Michigan, not the people. I don't blame the men and women who are bringing the cannabis business to Michigan, but the regulations and the men and women who made the regulations to completely destroy the mom and pop operations. Same thing with net neutrality.
To be fair,
argue that point.
Net neutrality has not taken effect yet.
Are you against the men and women who listen to this show?
Not at all.
Then you better be against net neutrality.
But I'm going to tell you this. Net neutrality has not taken effect yet, and I already saw
they're doing away with it.
I already saw one attorney general of a state that's going to sue the FCC because of that. It's going to get caught up in the law. It's going to get caught up in the courts for
years. So don't you think there's a reason for that?
Oh, I agree.
Because it's not a good thing, Craig.
I agree.
You should not want it. You're in radio.
I understand that, but I think some of the arguments people make for it are slightly off kilter.
Was mine off?
No, not at all. I'm not saying you were.
Wait, say that again. Was mine off?
No, not at all.
Wow.
I don't think yours was off.
That's recorded.
I understand that.
Wow.
I don't think you were off at all. I'm just saying I think with everything, I think one person goes on the internet, because here's what my daughter thinks. My daughter thinks she is going to have to go online and pay to use YouTube. She thinks she's going to have to get a debit card, put money on it, and pay to use it. No,
I don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. Here's what I see happening. I see it being $5 or $10 more a month for my internet that I pay for that she'll then be able to use.
All that free music, all those free music sites, it's going to go by the way. It's going to go. I mean, all this great stuff we enjoy on the internet, there's opportunities for men and women to compete with these big companies. And that's what I don't want to lose that.
Because
it's one of the last places on earth,
but there's also,
where it's one of the last places on earth that we have an opportunity to compete with the big guys.
But it's not free.
And the government should
not
should stay out of our darn business and stop making things hard
by the time
for the men and women.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
Like our listeners.
By the time it goes through the courts,
I'm running for office.
By the time it goes through the courts, there'll be a new president. And I'm not saying this because Donald Trump isn't going to win in 2020 or whatever. I'm saying by the time he gets through the courts, his 8 years will be up and there'll be a new president and it will probably be shot down at some point.
But think of all the men and women who could not benefit during the next 8 years. I'm not blaming.
It's not going to happen.
Here's the thing.
If it's hung up in the courts, it's not going to change anything. Nothing's going to change. They're not going to be able to.
I'm pretty happy about the tax cuts.
I you know what?
Yeah.
I am too.
Yeah.
I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat.
We're Americans.
That's right.
I'm neither party.
You know what? To be able to get $50 back a week in my check every month, I'm going to be okay with that. For you being a
business person, let me explain to you why I'm happy.
You're going to be able to save money on your taxes.
Well, it depends
on your business.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
It depends at what tax bracket you're in, what percentage.
And they've lowered the
tax. Can I please explain it?
Please
to the listeners?
Please do.
Why I'm for it?
Okay.
Because corporations around the world are taxed at a lower rate.
Much lower.
Some 14%, 15%, 8%, 19%, 22%. Our government, our federal government, has taxed our corporations at such a high rate, hold on, that it made it hard for our corporations to compete with all these other corporations. Thus, they had to move out of this country.
Yeah.
Now, by lowering the tax rate, I know it's going to add, okay, is it going to add all this money to the debt? I think it will.
You know what?
But here's the thing. Hold on. I do feel, I'm not an economist, that it will balance somewhere, because what's going to happen is these corporations, instead of leaving now, we're talking new corporations, new entrepreneurs, they can stay here. Maybe some will come back. I don't know if they're all going to come back.
Probably not.
But let's talk about the new technology, new corporations. They're starting every day. They're not going anywhere. We're going to have lower corporate tax rates so they can employ more Americans.
Because part of the thing that, and part of the argument is,
do you agree with me on that?
Oh, I totally do.
The corporate tax rate has killed our corporations.
Part of the argument that people have made is that one of the things that they think is going to happen is the CEOs of these big companies, they're going to reinvest that money they save back into
hiring new people. I'm not so sure.
New people,
I don't
and
think
getting
so.
Higher wages. I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
I think from this point forward, it's going to make it easier to keep companies in the United States, and you might not be able to pay the people anymore. But you're not going to lose those jobs.
There's going to be,
here's the thing.
There's going to be so much competition now. American companies can stay in America and it can be made in America and not having to leave. I mean, yep. I blame the federal government, because why would you have our tax rate so high for corporations all these years?
Because they're trying to make money. It's all about money.
It's the government trying to make money while it's hurting our corporations.
Exactly. It's the government trying to make money because we've got $1 trillion debt.
So, you know, folks, look at it that way.
All they ever worried,
America is going to compete now.
All they're ever worried about is, oh, we're going to pass this $1 trillion debt along to our grandkids, whatever. You know what's going to happen? Our grandkids are going to have a $2 trillion debt. You know what's going to happen? Everything's going to be just the same.
It will be.
Who's going to come knocking on our door? Hello, America. We need our $15 billion to pay us back. No, nobody's coming and asking for their money. They're just going to keep.
Speaking of money.
It's just going to keep going up. Yeah, money.
Okay. We have to talk about Bitcoins.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, because I get a lot of people calling my office asking me if they shouldn't. I'm an attorney, a criminal defense attorney. I'm not an investment banker. And these are friends of mine, whether they should invest in Bitcoins.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you my opinion, and you have a gross story.
I do.
You can do the story first.
Okay.
When we come back from break. Tease the audience. What's the story about?
The story has to do with snowmobiling and unsafe snowmobiling and the gory consequences.
So we're going to come back on our New Year's Eve show right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting on 98.5 UPS, Rock 105, 95.5, and podcasting across the world
on SoundCloud
and Podbean and iTunes and all those things.
So if you miss any portion of the show, go to your look on your phone, go to the App Store or look for the app. Look for the podcast app. It's a little, it says podcast.
Yep.
Download it. It's free. When you download it, type in the name of the show, Todd Levitt, my name, obviously, and subscribe to the show. When we upload this show, or you missed the show, or you didn't tune in, it's going to notify you, and you can listen to this show and all our past shows.
Perfect.
Check it out. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. New Year's edition, 2017 going into 2018. Coming back strong once again with Bono and The Edge. You too.
Yep. Adam Clayton.
Adam Clayton.
I'm trying to remember the fourth guy. Larry Mullins. Larry Mullins.
Okay. Yep. I have a confession about you too.
All right.
Only like the 1980s material.
Yeah. Not a big fan.
They lost me after that. Yeah. Not into it.
Not a big fan of you.
And if you're just tuning in, Craig has a gory story to tell.
We were talking earlier about snowmobiling and safe snowmobiling. Of course, everybody, this is New Year's Eve. For starters, no drinking and driving. Please be safe tonight. Be careful. This is rookie drinking time. You're going to have a lot of people who don't normally go out and party are going to be out partying tonight. So be careful. Don't drink and drive. Don't snowmobile and drive. Don't use ORV.
Don't text and drive.
Don't do that either.
Can you imagine, with all the drinking and driving and controlled substances illegal other than cannabis, although it could be considered illegal. Not going to get into all that if you don't have a card and immunity. And now texting, so you add that. So you're tired, you're drinking, you're texting. Now it's even more deadly.
You're dying.
Stop. Everybody's driven with someone who's texting and driving. Stop.
Knock that phone out of their hands.
Look up at the road. Okay, yeah. I very rarely am I a passenger. And there's been a few times over the past year where I have been, and I've noticed the driver texting, and I've immediately said something.
It's not a good thing.
No.
But anyway, so this time of year, you know what's coming up now? We're almost into January. You know what's in January? Tip Up Town USA in Houghton Lake, which is a big winter festival. And they do a lot of snowmobiling out on the lake, out in the lake. And a few years back, there was a story. There was people who had part of their lake, their lakefront was sectioned off with wire, and guy was riding a snowmobile. He ducked. It was a couple, girl in the back, guy driving the snowmobile. They'd been drinking. He ducked. Girl didn't duck. Let me do that sound again. Off of their head. Decapitated. Ew. So don't drink in snowmobile. It's a bad idea.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a gory story.
It really is. Yeah. It's nothing.
That's a sad story.
It is. It happened a long time ago.
Well, you always hear stories of like dock posts. Somebody doesn't see the post, the dock.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but just be careful. So that's what I'm saying. Just be careful when you're drinking and driving. Just be careful when you're snowmobiling. Don't snowmobile. Don't drive your snowmobile. Don't do the RV, ORV and drinking. It just never is going
to
end good.
I happen to represent, as I said in the first segment, if you just tuned in, I represent a number of individuals who are caught operating sleds each year while intoxicated. And I'll just repeat this real quick. If you're operating a sled, a.k.a. snowmobile, on a highway, public roadway, not the trail itself, you will be charged under the 257 Michigan Motor Vehicle Code.
Right.
The sanctions and the penalties are those of motor vehicles. If you're in a car, truck, or otherwise, you can get caught on a tractor and charged with drinking and driving.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on an ORV trail, it's the 324 section. That goes on a separate driving abstract, and you do not lose your driving privileges on your Michigan ability to operate a motor vehicle. Just want to say that again.
In a nutshell, you shouldn't drink and do any kind of driving of anything. But if you were going to do it at all on an ORV trail would be probably less detrimental to your life than doing it on the road.
But absolutely. But don't absolutely. Do it at
all. Bitcoin. Did you see the stories about Bitcoin?
So
what is Bitcoin? So, there's a lot of people who don't know what
Bitcoin is. Here's the thing about Bitcoin.
All right.
Now, I do believe that cryptocurrency is a thing of the future in some ways.
Agreed. And probably at some point.
But here's the issue. Here's the issue. We don't know who backs it.
Mm-mm.
So if you're talking about, let's talk about value as a currency. There's a lot more to currency than meets the eye. Okay.
Right.
Now, the federal government insures banks, FDIC.
Yep.
The dollar has strength, buying power around the world. If you said to me, I'm going to give you $10,000, well, a Bitcoin by itself was up to what, $15,000, $16,000, $18,000, $20,000 last week? I don't follow it. If you said, Todd, I'll give you $20,000 cash or two Bitcoins, what do you think I'm taking?
20 cash.
20 cash.
Sure.
Because I can use it to buy things. It has buying power right now.
Right.
Now, do I think, again, cryptocurrency is a thing of the future? There's all other types coming out. Right now, I have some friends that have invested in it, and they've made some money because, look, if you're collecting something and somebody is willing to buy it and give you more money for it, then, okay, it's a collectible.
Right.
You're making money. So I'm not saying no, but personally, too risky. I think it's like the dot-com bubble where it could burst at any time.
That's true, because they don't even know who the guy is behind
Bitcoin. Who's behind Bitcoin?
It's just some random, it's some mysterious guy who's worth like $8 billion, trillion or something like that.
But I believe in cryptocurrency, which is currency used
completely on the internet.
Correct.
Completely digital.
Right. I'm not against it, but no. I just, as an if I'm investing right now, I'm saying no. Personally, I think you should invest. There's four things you should do. This is some more advice.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
You should diversify your portfolio. You should have land.
Sure.
You should have a portfolio of stocks, bonds, a portfolio.
Sure.
Investment portfolio.
Right.
You should collect something. Collect Bitcoin.
Okay.
Stamps.
Sure.
Other coins. People can collect candles, stuffed animals. Doesn't matter. And the fourth thing, cash. So now you have a diversified portfolio. I'm a lawyer, but this is what my advice is.
Right.
Because if you have those four diversified items, if one crashes, you have the other three. Land, they say, other than the housing bust in 2008, land is always a safe investment.
Sure.
So, and it's good to collect something, whether it's a bobblehead, guitars, motorcycles. I collect bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's value. Other bikers will pay me money for my collectibles.
Exactly.
So there's my investment advice.
All right.
And I do not rely upon anything I'm telling you. I'm an attorney.
Yep.
Go talk to an investor, an investment specialist. There's a lot of good ones out there.
Now, if somebody wants to ask you about drunk driving or driver's license restoration, you're the guy.
Yeah. One thing I don't talk enough about is driver's license restoration, because I'm one of the top attorneys in the state that specializes in anything and everything that has to do with a driver's license. I represent men and women who have moved out of state, who once lived in the state of Michigan, and because of habitual drinking and driving and drugging, they lost their driving privileges. I represent men and women all over the state of Michigan to help reinstate their privileges. Now, I cannot do anything about the driver responsibility fee. So each time I say this on the radio, I get these calls. Can you help me get my license back because of the driver responsibility fee? The answer is no.
You got to pay it.
Got to pay it.
Speaking of driver's license, I got my new driver's license a couple weeks ago because it was my birthday.
I know. Happy birthday.
It's my birthday on the 22nd.
I have a present for you.
Oh, you do?
A Bitcoin.
Oh, yes.
You know what? I'm for Bitcoin. I'm not against the Bitcoin.
I'm just saying that's just my own opinion. Here's the deal with me. If I'm walking out of the studio and I'm going across the street to the Speedway and I want to get myself a fountain pop, if I hand that guy a Bitcoin, you know what they're going to do?
What?
Laugh. What is this? No, we want money, currency, real dollars. That's where, you know, if I go on Amazon and I buy a pop, yes, I could probably use a Bitcoin to pay for it. But if I want to buy something here in Mount Pleasant.
Why, is Amazon taking Bitcoins?
I don't know. Somebody does. Somebody's got to take them somewhere. They wouldn't be worth anything.
Right.
If you can't use them to buy anything with.
No, let me tell you what gives something value. If somebody is willing to pay a higher price for something, then it has value.
Exactly.
That's what the market will hold.
Well, you remember money back in the day used to be balanced with gold. A dollar was worth a dollar worth of gold. Well, that went away. The gold standard went away when the Great Depression hit and banks, you know, money started losing value. The only reason it has value is because we give it value.
People, that's what I'm saying.
We give it value. Same thing with the Bitcoins. They have value because people have given it value.
But nobody what knows. I have a cousin who invested $1,000 as part of an investment group in a Bitcoin.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. So if somebody's willing to pay them more money than they paid for the Bitcoin, then it's a good investment.
Sure.
I think it's a little risky right now.
Right.
I can't say this enough. I understand it. I believe in cryptocurrency. It's coming. It's already here. But again, we don't know who backs it. It's not insured. The American dollar is something you can use around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And our generation, I'm 52 and you're 78.
Close.
You're 50. 48. I'm older.
Yeah.
I'm just a little, and I think our generation, there's a lot, but I do have a friend my age that is investing heavily in Bitcoin. I'm a little more.
A little skeptical of it.
Not skeptical. No, not skeptical, not willing to take that type of risk right now.
Right. But someday, I think someday after our lives are over, that probably will be the norm. People will use Bitcoins and go, God, I wonder what everybody did without Bitcoins before. Well, now you know, we didn't do anything with them. That's what I think. I saw a story, though. If you'd invested $49 in Bitcoin like 10 years ago or 7 years ago, 2010, I think is what it was, you'd be worth worth $252 million now. Now, I don't know if that's $252 million in American money or in Bitcoin currency, but I saw this story. If you had invested like $4,000, you'd be worth like $3.2 billion right now.
I mean, the market is just going crazy right now. It keeps going up. Oh, you think it's going to dive?
I think the Bitcoin thing is going to.
Well, I'm just talking about the market in general.
I hope it doesn't, man. It's been good. It's a good ride right now.
What goes up? Look, I'm a biker.
I know.
What goes up? Goes down.
Come down.
Right.
It's never going to stop. It has to go
down. But if you bought when it was down, you're doing really well right now. Everybody's portfolios. Look, here's another thing. It's the new year. Let me give the listeners something to think about right now. No,
okay.
I'm serious.
Okay. Yep.
Something to think about.
All right.
There, you start a portfolio. It doesn't matter how old you are. Literally, you can start putting in $20, $50, $100 a month right now. But start a portfolio. Diversify your investments.
Yep.
Land, collectibles, money, stocks, and bonds.
And I think people
not bonds. I'm into stocks.
I think more people are more careful with that stuff nowadays, especially after the crash 10 years ago. You know, when everyone's retirement got wiped out and everything. I think people are a lot more cautious about how they do that now, and I think that people pay more attention to it. Yeah. I think people before were just piling stuff in their 401ks and just, that's just what we
do. But look, we all seen the housing market was manipulated by a small group of individuals. Look, that's too technical to get into right now.
You'd like to believe that we've learned our lesson.
But that was manipulated by a group of individuals, the housing market, these mortgage companies. And I lost money on my house when I had to move up here. I had to short sell a house.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I sold it right when the market crashed.
I know.
I couldn't even get any value out of it.
You know what? Honest to God, that's
why. And it was on a lake.
That's why I rent. Because even though people say, oh, you don't have equity, you're not blah, 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 I don't have any of those worries. Yes, I have to pay rent.
I have a question for you, though.
But
I understand. I agree with you, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
You see this pen right here?
Yes.
How much do you think it's worth?
95 cents.
Okay, so there you go. You want to know something? I paid a nickel for it. You're going to give me 95 cents. I'm walking away with a huge profit. I'm going to make a 90 cents profit on this pen.
Sure.
Here you go. It's yours after the show.
Okay.
See, there you go.
I got a nickel in my pocket. I'll give it to you.
No, I'm going to make 95 cents off this pen. I don't know why I even brought that up. But
90
hey,
cents.
This is our New Year's show.
And it's almost done.
And this show's actually on New Year's Eve.
I know. It's crazy.
This is unbelievable.
So again, do not drink and drive tonight. Be careful. Give the keys to somebody else. Make a plan. Enjoy the night. Party. Do whatever you're going to
do.
But just be safe about it.
I have a couple announcements, too.
Okay.
We've already announced this. Coming into the new year.
Yes.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is with Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. And I just want to say thank you, Craig. I want to thank you personally. You're the producer of the show. You're my co-host. You do the editing. You're the program director of 98.5 UPS, part of the Black Diamond. I love what you do. I love what you do for the listeners. I love listening to you every day.
I'm so happy that I've had the opportunity to learn from you and do the show. So I personally want to thank you.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do this, to be able to grow. This is a little different from what I normally do, like during the week and stuff. So I really appreciate it. And it's been a lot of fun.
You've become one of my best friends, and I love you, bro. Yeah, I really do.
I love you too, man.
But I want to thank everybody at Black Diamond. But in the new year, we announced this the last couple of weeks, we are going to be launching a new podcast.
Yes.
This show will still be on podcast, yep. But we have a huge podcast coming. And we're going to launch our seminar series.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a seminar series coming up. Levitt Law Seminars is going to be putting on all different types of seminars. Let me just give a little information here.
Okay.
We're going to have a seminar on CBDs.
Okay.
What CBDs are and how to legally go about if you're legally able to
right
produce manufacture CBDs. Our good friend Sandy and Chris
right
will be conducting that seminar. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Everything, you know, we're not teaching anything illegal because the federal government, listen, that's a whole different show. We're not even gonna have anything in studio. It's just a conversation.
Sure.
That's all it is. And not to give out illegal information, just CBDs have less than 1% THC. All legal.
We're going
to qualify that.
We're just going to converse about it.
Also, I used to teach in a CMU, Central Michigan University College of Business.
Right.
My hobby is business.
Okay.
We're going to put on some small business seminars. We're going to teach men and women out there how to launch their own businesses online.
Oh, cool.
Brick and mortars.
All right.
How to do everything from incorporate to trademark to market to launch their babies.
That's
to
awesome.
Come up with an idea and give birth to it. So look forward to that, and that announcement's right here on the Todd Elevitt Law Show. It's something I love doing. I love talking business.
And now we're talking New Year's Eve, and we're done.
Happy New Year's, everybody.
Happy New Year. Be safe. We'll see you next year.
Without further ado,
right on.
Take us out into 2018. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator, Craig Russell. We'll see you next year.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, New Millennium Pawn Shop in Mount Pleasant, paying top dollar for gold and silver, and Tim's Collision Plus.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.